Episode 115.
I think the most important thing for any organization is to have what I call true north, to have a place that no matter where the winds may blow you or try to take you off course, that you understand where you're trying to get to.
Welcome, aftermarketers, to Remarkable Results Radio. Listen to learn just one thing from today's episode on your journey to remarkable results.
Hello, aftermarketers throughout North America and around the world. Carm Capriotto here, and thank you for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. Welcome to episode 115 and an enlightening interview with multi-shop owner Doug Grills. Now, this episode is brought to you by Federal Mogul Motor Parts and Garage Gurus for serious technical training and support online, on-site, and on-demand. Garage Gurus is everything you need to know. Find out more at fmgarageguru.com. Hey, don't hesitate for 1 minute to let me know if you have someone in mind that should be on the show. I'm sure you've thought to yourself that your good friend Bill would make a great guest on Carm's show. Now, first, check with Bill and either have him contact me, or even you can go to remarkableresults.biz and click on the guest opportunity page and complete the form. And the easiest way is to email me at carm@remarkableresults.biz. Now, Doug Grills, partner in AutoStream Car Care, a four-store service professional. Along with his partner, Rick Levitin, they brought their base experience from their former positions with a Fortune 5 company. As Doug tells it, they brought a lot of business savvy with them when they started their company, which includes gas, C-store, a Subway franchise, and automotive service. Neither Rick or Doug were techs before they started their business. And hear Doug talk about their latest location that will be exclusively automotive service. So why listen? Doug talks about consolidation in the industry, how getting a business coach early in their venture proved one of their smarter moves, that he's real big on dashboards, giving him a hub of information on their performance measured against their goals, and how their move to paperless went and the impact it's making on their workflow. Also catch his references to the 7 habits and in having a true north vision when the winds may take you off course. Enjoy the story of multi-shop owner Doug Grills. Now here we go.
A warm welcome to Doug Grills of AutoStream Car Care from Baltimore, Maryland. Doug, are you ready to share your remarkable results?
I absolutely am.
All right. Hey, glad to have you on. As you can tell, I'm a little under the weather. Thanks for coming on with me. Now, you're an interesting guy because unlike many of our former guests on the show who were technicians who became an entrepreneur, you were never a technician.
That's correct.
You started out in the gas business and working for those big Fortune 5 companies, and you made a transition into buying C-stores, then now big operation going on with Auto Car Care.
Correct.
Do you think you were at a disadvantage at all?
I don't really. I mean, I think that when it comes to having business experience and business savvy, I think I had some great advantages. The disadvantage is not having all the technical knowledge that a former technician would have coming into the business. And while, you know, while that might have caused some challenges or created some challenges at certain points, we were always able to find people who could help us with that technical side of the business. And then we could focus more on serving customers and developing marketing plans and looking for great locations. Focused on from a business standpoint. So
you had all that, if you will, disciplines from these big companies. I think one of them was Mobil.
Yes. Started my career at Mobil.
And think about it. You know, with all the disciplines that you had to do, you brought those into the business.
Yes.
You could look back and say, wow, pretty darn powerful foundation.
Yes, it absolutely was. I mean, one great thing for us, myself and my business partner, Rick Levitin, we both worked at Mobil, and you got tremendous foundational skills. I mean, you learned a lot about how to run a sales territory. We ran, you know, we went out and called on franchisees, guys that are in our role today.
Sure.
But we also ran company-operated facilities for Mobil Oil. So we had managers and P&L responsibility and ran big chunks of their business – understanding organizational effectiveness and how different levels of management interact. And you know, you were really charged with being responsible for a $15 or $20 million piece of their business at a pretty young age.
Right.
And you learned right out of the gate a lot of the skills that you needed to run a successful organization. So it was a tremendous experience for both of us.
Recently, I interviewed Malin Newton from ESI, a business mm-hmm. coach. And Malin said that some of the trends of succession planning are going to be that shops are going to be sold to entrepreneur or an investor more than they are going to be sold to an internal technician type.
Yeah, and you know, we've seen that actually. Yeah, I would agree with Malin. We've seen that. I mean, there are operators out there, guys, that I always called them sort of in our old past lives, a consolidator, a guy that's out
right.
there looking for rolling up large chains. So maybe he's had a couple himself, but now he's looking to add a small chain of two or three or four or five. And then as a consolidator, rolling that up to something larger. And then who knows, you know, who steps in at that point to maybe potentially buy them out. We've seen that actually even here in our own market. We've seen some of that going on. So I agree. That's a trend that's coming.
Okay. So help me understand how you think of this. You've got a great brand, AutoStream Car Care. Mm-hmm. And let's just put on a little crystal ball right now, because I'm trying to drive at the fact that our consolidators, and let's say that you may become one someday, are consolidators going to keep your brand going and feel like an independent, or are you going to become like a big box store? Do you have in your vision?
I think from my perspective, my vision would be that I would love to try to maintain that local independent feel. And that's a hard thing to do because keeping yourself grounded and in contact with the customer while we grow and we want to continue to expand, we don't want to become this impersonal monolith, this huge organization that sort of has lost that focus and that connection.
But isn't it culture and isn't it the right hires that can make that local feel work?
It absolutely is. And it's something that we continually talk about. We when we're talking to our own people, we're always talking about culture, who we want to be, what we want to represent. I had a meeting recently and I was talking to them about, you know, sometimes we get this vibe that they might feel like they're working for a big company. And I said, you know, maybe you think of yourself as working for the man. And I said, but let me be clear, I'd like to introduce myself. I'm the man. So it's just me. In other words, it's just me and Rick and we're still, I think, the same guys we were when we started years ago. And we want to continue to try to make sure that our people feel connected to us and that our customers feel connected to our company, and that we do sort of step outside sort of what you would expect normally for an automotive experience and try to create an exceptional experience for the customer.
I can so relate to the discussion about the man, because I've had that exact discussion and trying to prove a very strong point. Very, very well said. So you're still selling gas today. And I think you said you had a car wash and even a Subway franchise?
Yes, we do. Yeah, we wear all those hats. We have four locations, but in a way we have not just the four automotive service businesses. We have four gasoline businesses and four C-store businesses and a car wash, as you mentioned, and a Subway. So we're wearing a lot of hats. We've got a lot of things going on sort of all at the same time, but we so far have been able to manage it.
So put your hat on again for me. I guess I'm asking all these great future questions of you, because I know our listeners would love to know what your plans are. In the future, do you want to keep buying places with the fuel, or do you want to just single yourself out to automotive repair?
Great question. We're really trying to focus on automotive service and make that really the cornerstone of our company. And the reason that we've come to that, Carm, is that because when we look at all these other businesses, we asked ourselves, you know, can we be the best gasoline marketer in the area? And the answer is, for us, we have great locations, but there's probably other people that have bigger facilities and they can do more volume. So the answer there, I guess, would be no. And same thing on C stores. You know, we have great C stores, but we're not 3,000 square foot behemoths like some of these other competitors out there? Can we be the best in that industry? And the answer is no. And we sort of went through that whole process with the car wash and with the subway. But when it came to automotive service, we said, is this something that we can be the best at? And the answer for us is yes, we can be. We can be exceptional. And so that's a goal that I think inspires us and leads us in a direction where we say that's really where we see our future. And so how we make that transition fully at some point in the future remains to be seen, but we're already heading in that direction.
Got it.
Because our next location, we've just gotten permit approval and we're moving forward on a standalone facility that we're going to be building in Montgomery County, Maryland. So that's our first venture, our foray into no gas, no C-store, no car wash, standalone automotive, and we feel very good about our direction there, and we're hoping to continue that growth with other facilities just like the one we're about to start.
Great answer. Thanks a lot, Doug.
I believe you would agree that being a top tech is real hard work. Keeping up is a full-time gig, considering vehicle technology, repair procedures, and diagnostics. It's refreshing to know that Federal Mogul Motor Parts' Garage Guru is there for you. It's been designed by and for technicians, the best in the industry. And did you know there's no other comprehensive program like this anywhere? A big part of the program is the nationwide network of Guru's on-site training and technology centers. There, you can get your hands dirty with the equipment and tools you use every day in real work-related situations. When online is your perfect way to learn, do it with Guru's 24/7 online academy with a huge catalog of training course options. And with the Guru's on-the-go technology fleet, they bring the latest products and demos right to your shop. And this year, you get free stuff from the Garage Rewards Loyalty Program. You earn points towards gear from your favorite Federal Mogul Motor Parts' brands. And what is really great, it costs nothing to join, and you'll start earning points immediately. So head on over to fmgarageGurus.com and learn all about Garage Guru's training, support, and get in on the rewards.
Now, your partner, Rick Levitin, and you, based on all the background that you've told me about, what did you do to want to learn this business, this automotive service business? Did you go out and find yourself an automotive aftermarket coach?
We did, actually. Yeah, we've done work with the Automotive Training Institute, who happens to be in Baltimore. They have 1,400 clients nationally, but they happen to be in our backyard. Stepping back to your last question, you know, when we started, we were gas station guys. We worked for the oil company. We weren't as focused on automotive service, but our first location that we acquired had automotive service base. We said, hey, we got to learn about this thing and get better at it. We had some exposure, but we're going to really dig in and learn it. And then after doing that for a bit, we said, well, maybe we could use some help. And we got introduced to ATI, Automotive Training Institute in Baltimore. And they've been a tremendous resource for us because they have great coaches, guys, veterans from the industry. They offer classroom training. We've since that time gotten involved with peer groups where we meet with other shop operators. A lot of the vendor relationships that we've developed were people that we met through ATI, going to their conferences and so on. So whether it ended up being website companies or customer relationship management companies, CRM companies like a Demandforce with email follow-up, whoever, it's just been a great learning experience for us. And then in terms of keeping your finger on the pulse of different things that are happening in the industry, this networking opportunity with other owners has proved invaluable because we've discovered so many different things that we could take advantage of and help our business.
So a follow-up is, are you making sure that your facility leaders or your general managers are participating in this training, or is it just you and Rick?
It's all of us. Yeah, it's all of us. So it's sort of owner training, if you will, for myself and Rick. But all of our service managers go through service manager training. And there's various phases of that. So there's sort of an introductory phase, and they go through sort of the basics, and then they move on to advanced sales training, service manager training. So all the folks that we have in our organization have gone through every phase of their training.
Are you using any kind of dashboarding?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, one of the companies that we use now is Auto Shop Solutions in North Carolina, our website company. And so now they've created an interface to our management system. So they can actually tap in every day, pull data directly from our management systems at our various locations, and consolidate that for us. And so there's a dashboard available that tracks tons of metrics, whether it's average tickets, number, you know, car counts, average tickets, call conversion rates.
Sure.
You know, how many email capture rates, things like that, things that you're interested in from a marketing standpoint. So we do that. We have ATI has an online portal that we input a bunch of data every week in terms of our sales results, our parts margins, pricing, labor costs, all these different things. So we can tap into that as well. And then, as I mentioned before, we use Demandforce for email marketing, and they have a dashboard that we can constantly be looking at metrics there, reviews and appointment scheduling and things like that. So we've got a number of different options in terms of keeping tabs on how things are going.
Hey, Doug, anything keeping you up at night?
You know, not really. I'm happy to report that I sleep pretty well.
Great.
I mean, there's always concerns. You're always, as an entrepreneur, I think you always feel like that next potential disaster is right around the corner. And that's a good thing because it keeps you sharp and it keeps focused. So I don't want to say that I don't have any concerns, but I feel good that I'm not laying awake at night thinking, oh my God, what happens next? What's the next thing? So as entrepreneurs, we're always thinking something's going to go wrong. And I think that's a good thing in the end.
How do you manage work-life balance?
You know, for me, I've been pretty successful with that. The number one key is discipline. It requires a lot of discipline to be able to have great work-life balance. And what that really means is, number one, if you decide, hey, these are the things that I want to enjoy in my life. So for me, you know, I run. I'm a runner. I work out every day.
Oh, yeah.
And so I get up at the crack of dawn every day, and I make that something that I do. And I've been doing that for years, 15 years. I play tennis. I play tennis 2-3 times a week. So you guess, again, you have to sort of segregate that. I'm going to do this and make it a priority.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, obviously your family life. And that's always been extremely important to me. So the time that I get to spend with my kids and my wife. And then everybody understanding that given the sort of rough and tumble life of an entrepreneur, that's always subject to being intruded upon at times. Because when things happen, you have to be there because you're the first guy there and the last guy to leave.
Yeah, yeah. What's the most unexpected thing you've learned along the way?
You know, I've learned that you can, people are adaptable. People can change and learn about things and create business opportunity when perhaps they didn't see one before. And so you can surprise yourself with just giving things a lot of thought and sort of trying to figure out the path. We've constantly changed our thinking. It's funny how sometimes when you see somebody who has a certain degree of success, you have this idea that they had this grand vision for where they were going to be from the beginning. And what you learn is that's not really the case.
It evolves.
It evolves over time. It absolutely evolves over time. You know, a great quick story is, you know, Subway, the Subway story, because we are Subway franchisees. But the guy that started it in 1965 as a way to pay for college.
Right.
He wanted to try to make enough money to pay for his schooling. So he started a sandwich shop. And then his original goal was 100 stores in Connecticut. And then from there, he started creating these regional opportunities around the country, these development areas, and it became sort of a national thing. Now they're the largest chain in the world.
Right.
And so what you sort of take from that, one of the great things about that is, hey, he didn't start it thinking he was going to dominate the world.
And he wasn't an overnight success, right?
No, it took 50 years, but he started it to pay for college. Yeah. That's really what he was doing. So
great story.
His vision changed over time.
Hey, if you didn't need money, what would you be doing in life?
You know, it's so funny. They just, I was at a seminar recently. They asked that same question. And
they stole it from me. They stole that question from me.
I guess they did. They asked that question. And then the big question was, how many people said they'd be doing exactly what they're doing now?
Yeah.
And so a few people threw their hands up. I mean, I love what I do. I can't really imagine not doing what I do now. I'm the type of person where when I think about the traditional traditional concept of retirement, I don't think about it that way. I feel like I want to continue to do what I do for as long as I can do it. I guess I have this sort of idea that I'm one of those people where I think, you know, you have to constantly be doing something or you know, you're going to die or something. I don't know if that sounds terrible, but I love what I do. So, I mean, I don't know that I would be doing things a lot differently than I do now.
Here's great news. There's a new brake pad on the market that can stop a pickup SUV or CUV up to 50 feet sooner than other leading pads. And on top of that, it lasts up to twice as long as previous designs. Sound too good to be true? Well, Wagner Brake did it. They designed their new Wagner OEX brake pads that stopped up to 50 feet sooner than other leading brake pads. To prove it, they got Link Engineering, pretty much the industry standard on brake performance testing, and they got their proof. But Wagner needed more convincing. They asked 400 top technicians to put Wagner OEX pads to the test, where it matters most, in their shops and on their customers' vehicles. 99% said they saw a noticeable difference in the new brakes, and 95% said they'd likely recommend them to other service professionals for their customers. Now, soon you can get Wagner OEX brake pads in your shop. They'll be available nationwide with coverage for 95% of U.S. pickups, SUVs, and CUVs. Get the full story. Learn about the science behind Wagner OEX and check coverage. Go to WagnerBrake.com.
You know, you talked about change, and I agree with you so wholeheartedly. You're a different person than you were in high school and college and your first years of marriage, and you have to evolve. People, you have to do it. People often have to say, you know, you've changed. And mm-hmm. you say, thank God I've changed.
Yeah, right.
So exactly. Can you recognize a significant change in you as a leader since starting your business?
I absolutely can. Yeah, I believe that when you start off, you know, when you're younger, I think you're focused more on your own needs and your own desires and the things that you want to accomplish in your life. You really have to be more invested in other people. My leadership style, you know, when I started, I was sort of a younger guy looking to make my mark and certainly was completely focused on that. But it's funny, you know, if you're familiar with Stephen Covey, The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about how you start off you start off your life and it's about dependence, right? So you're a kid and you're dependent on your parents for food and shelter, and then it becomes a game of independence, right? You want to be able to prove that I can step out on my own and fend for myself. But what he really says is that the most effective people are those that understand that interdependence is really the key to success in life. And that's, I think from a leadership standpoint, that's what I realized too, is that you're counting on people. Your job is to help people, lift them up, help them be better, help them do more, serve your customer, and together win.
Well, you have the right attitude. No doubt we're going to interview you in a few years, and you're going to have 10 places because that's what it's going to take to grow. So describe your learning culture for, you know, your technicians and your service writers. What's the learning culture like?
Well, we have a very robust learning culture. We as I mentioned, we have all of our folks in training constantly prove themselves and hone their craft. Our technicians are doing training that we do locally through WMDA, which is a local Mid-Atlantic region organization that offers training for technicians, any of the vendors that offer training for our techs.
How many hours a year do you think your techs are getting?
I mean, I think the average is probably 20 to 30 hours of training.
Is it part of your policies?
Oh, absolutely. It absolutely is. Another great resource when you talk about training is we're NAPA Auto Care. So they offer online training, and we require a certain amount of online training from each employee every month.
Hey, is there anything that your supplier could do right now to improve relationships with you?
Well, we have very good relationships with the suppliers that we work with. And, you know, they're always constantly working with us on service levels and making sure that parts are available. I'd say availability and service levels are the most important things that we focus on. Certainly quality of the parts that we're getting. Price is probably further down the line than any of those other things. And then at the end of the day, it's about the relationship that we have with them and the strength of that relationship and their willingness to help us with any issues that we encounter along the way. And we offer a very strong warranty on all of our services, and we want them to participate in that as well.
What's your best method to acquire a new customer?
Word of mouth is a big part of what we try to accomplish, but that's hard to measure, and it's hard to know exactly, you know, how impactful or how often that's happening. But so we do, we're always trying to be on the cutting edge of letting people know who we are and what we do and what we stand for. So we do a lot of website marketing, a lot of Google AdWords. We are on social media, Facebook and Twitter. We're constantly trying to grow that fan base, if you will, and communicate with those folks, which, you know, it creates the perfect opportunity to convey who we are and what we stand for. We're constantly pushing. And then in terms of follow-up marketing, you know, I mentioned the email marketing. So we're constantly doing that, and all that's done online. So I think we're pretty cutting edge in terms of trying to cover all the bases from a marketing standpoint.
Systems, what are you doing to be sure that the workflow is right? Any new things you're working on or anything that's just creams to the top you want to tell us about?
Sure, absolutely. We use a company called Bolton, which does we have tablets now. So we've implemented this a couple years ago. We're about 2 years in. Mm-hmm. And we're essentially paperless today. Which is, I mean, compared to all, you know, sort of when mm-hmm. we all think like 15 years ago when we started, there was paper everywhere. So absolutely, when customers come in, we're having them check in electronically, if you will, and we're dispatching the work electronically via the tablets. Our technicians are doing the inspections electronically on the tablets. We're keeping track of work in progress, which is constantly being fed back to the service manager, so we can keep tabs on how things are happening in the shop and what the status of a job is. A job may be waiting on parts, a job may be waiting on approval, and it's a pretty sophisticated system for managing workflow in the shop.
Excellent. Technology, you're not afraid of it. Do you embrace it?
We absolutely do, and we expect everybody else to do so too. At the beginning, technology can be, I understand that, but it takes a little getting used to, and the next thing you know, you recognize all the advantages it gives you, and then from there, it's just sort of a sprint. Everybody embraces it, and off we go.
Hey, Doug, what's your dream car, and do you own it?
You know, I have a very nice car. I have a Mercedes, actually,
right,
that I always had wanted for years and years and years. So the answer is, yeah, I have my dream car.
Good.
Do I have the Gullwing, you know, the high? No, I don't have that.
Yeah, all right. Okay, great.
We do these goal posters. Everybody updates their goal posters so that we can all talk about our shared goals.
Yeah.
And my goal poster from 10 years ago had a Mercedes on, and I was able to check that one off not too long ago. So I'm happy about that.
Doug, looking back, what are you the proudest of?
I'm proudest of having built a company that you know, today we employ 45 people and we do a fair amount of business, and we've got a strong customer base. And to me, that's really the reward for me. I've always, and Rick the same, we've always wanted to build a great company that people want to work for, that they love working for, that customers enjoy doing business with. And we've been fortunate enough to be able to accomplish that. So that's what I'm most proud of. And when you talk about the future and where we see ourselves down the line, yeah, and then having more independent automotive repair shops and building the chain, and hopefully we will look back in 5 or 10 years and have a larger chain and feel great about where we are.
I got to tell you, I think I could go on and talk to you for a couple of hours. It's been very enlightening. I love what you have to say. So I got one more question for you. Doug Grills from AutoStream Car Care, multi-shop owner from Baltimore, Maryland. Give us some words to live by.
Well, I think the most important thing for any organization is to have what I call true north, to have a place that no matter where the winds may blow you or try to take you off course, that you understand where you're trying to get to. And then the key to your success is really trying to communicate that to everybody in the organization so that when they're faced with the day-to-day challenges and the things that can take them off task, that they understand where true north lies and that they're always sort of, you know, redirected to, hey, here's where we're all trying to get to. And it's not easy to do that. You're constantly trying to communicate it with folks, and hey, maybe true north changes a little bit over time, but having that base, that sort of reference point that you can always return to me is what really creates ultimately business success for you.
Many years ago, I read a book called The Northbound Train. And I remember the last name of the author. It was Albrecht, mm-hmm. something like that. And boy, that was a real mover for me a long time ago. And so I'm hearing what you're saying, and I feel your passion for being on the North.
Well, that's good. I appreciate that because it is. It's a constant. It's something that you have to be passionate about and persevere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Regardless of what you're presented with, you just keep going. Just keep going.
Hey, Doug, thanks so much for being on.
It was my pleasure.
Hey, guys and gals, thanks so much for listening. Wasn't Doug forthcoming with great insight on his business? Now, find additional show notes on the episode with Doug Grills and their business website link on the show notes episodes page on Remarkable Results Radio. And keep in mind the power of the stories. It's purely podcast wisdom. If you're ready to go into business as a service professional, you get over 110 episodes so far to provide guidance from the guys and gals who have been there and done that. Specifically, check out the entrepreneur stories, raw, unfiltered, honest, and wise. Follow every word to your own success. Now, I really do appreciate your engagement with the podcast and would ask that you help spread the word. Uniting our industry for continual improvements is a goal, and I'm very grateful for your support. Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from another inspiring aftermarket professional. Until next time.